Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lecture du livre de Micha. Écoutez donc ce que dit le Seigneur. Debout, engage un procès devant les montagnes, que les collines entendent ta voix. Écoutez, montagne, le procès du Seigneur, et vous, inébranlable fondement de la terre, voici le procès du Seigneur avec son peuple, avec Israël. Il entre en débat. Mon peuple, que t'ai-je fait? Et quoi t'ai-je fatigué? Réponds-moi. En te faisant monter au pays d'Égypte, en te rachetant de la maison de servitude, en t'envoyant comme guide Moïse à Aaron et Myriam, mon peuple, rappelle-toi donc ce que je tramais Balak, roi de Moab, ce que lui répondit Balaam, fils de Béor, le passage de Shittim à Gilgal, et tu reconnaîtras alors les victoires du Seigneur. Avec quoi me présenterai-je devant le Seigneur, m'incliner devant le Dieu de là-haut? Me présenterai-je devant lui avec des holocaustes, avec des veaux d'un an? Le Seigneur voudra-t-il des milliers de béliers, des quantités de torrents d'huile? Donnerai-je mon premier-né pour prix de ma révolte et l'enfant de ma chair pour mon propre péché? On t'a fait connaître, ô homme, ce qui est bien, ce que le Seigneur exige de toi. Rien d'autre que de respecter le droit, aimer la fidélité et t'appliquer à marcher avec ton Dieu. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you.
second reading. Kubanga ekigambo eky'omusalaba bwe busirusiru eri abo ababula, naye eri ffe abaalokolebwa ge maanyi ga Katonda. Kubanga kyawandiikibwa nti, ndizikiriza amagezi g'abagezigezi, n'obukabakaba bw'abakabakaba ndi buggyawo. Omugezigezi aluwa, omuwandiisi aluwa, omuwakanyi omu si muno aluwa. Katonda teyasiwaza magezi ga nsi, kubanga amagezi ga Katonda ensi olw'amagezi gaayo bw'etaategeera Katonda. Katonda n'asiima olw'obusirusiru obw'okubuulira okwo okulokola abo abakkiriza. Kubanga Abayudaaya baasaba obubonero, n'Abayonaani baanoonya amagezi, naye ffe tubuulira Kristo eyakomererwa eri Abayudaaya nkonge n'eri abamawanga busirusiru. Naye eri abo abayite Abayudaaya era Abayonaani, Kristo maanyi ga Katonda era amagezi ga Katonda. Kubanga obusirusiru bwa Katonda businga abantu amagezi, n'obunafu bwa Katonda businga abantu amaanyi. Kubanga mutunuulire okuyitibwa kwammwe abooluganda, ng'ab'amagezi ag'omubiri si bangi abaayitibwa, ab'amaanyi si bangi, ab'ekitiibwa si bangi. Naye Katonda yalonda ebisirusiru eby'ensi abagezigezi abakwasa ensonyi, era Katonda yalonda ebinafu eby'ensi akwasa ensonyi eby'amaanyi. N'ebikopi by'ensi n'ebinyomebwa Katonda yabironda era nibiteera era n'ebitaliiwo ajjawo ebiriwo, omubiri gwonna gulemenga okwenyumiriza mu maaso ga Katonda. Naye kuwoyo mmwe muli mu Kristo Yesu, eyafuuka amagezi gye mutuli okuva eri Katonda, era n'obutuukirivu n'okutukuzibwa n'okununulibwa. Nga bwekyawandiikibwa nti, eyenyumiriza yenyumirizenga mu Mukama. Here what the Spirit is saying to the church.
God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
May God's blessings come fully into our awareness through the words of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Nine times you heard the word blessed in what Jesus just said. And so we might want to think about how we use that word blessed, how we talk about blessings. The most obvious way in our gathered community is that we have a part of the service at the end where we invite you to share blessings. And people call them out, and we see some of the joy in the people around us. We maybe even see some of the walls come down of people's privacy as they share what is a blessing to them. Every now and then someone tries to sneak an announcement in as a blessing, but you know, you can go to the host and have them announce that. And my role in that is I'm kind of the facilitator. I'm looking out for the hands coming up. And if it wasn't said loud enough, I try to repeat it so we can all share in that good news. And I'm so busy being the facilitator that I don't think to share any of my blessings. So I'll just sneak one in now for myself. Which is that I have been skating on the canal every day. And every day has been a conversation with someone very amazing and interesting. And I feel very blessed by that. So we will do this at the end of the service. You will hear a slice of people's lives. I hope you will rejoice with them, and maybe you will even begin to acknowledge some of your own unrecognized blessings in how other people speak of things. There are birthdays and anniversaries, successful job interviews, permanent residency status, admission to university programs, medical test results. But how does all of that square up with how Jesus speaks about being blessed? If you listen to what Jesus says about blessings, they don't feel the same. So I want to take the one that is addressed specifically to us. There were the blessed are those, but blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you. Does that feel like a blessing? I want to focus on that one, because if you are paying attention to the news at all, you cannot hide from a world where persecution is happening, where people are being reviled, and where people are standing up to it. So I'm thinking of the blessing of millions of Americans outside, walking in the cold, cycling in the cold, singing together against the violence of their hijacked governments. They are a blessing to us here across this border, because borders are not impermeable. Things spill over. They are a blessing to those who cannot march, especially because they might be marked as targets because of their ethnicity or color of their skin. They're also a blessing to themselves because they're out there being true to what Jesus has said about being, taking a stand against persecution. This list of statements blessed that Jesus makes, can it help us unpack what Jesus would define a blessing to be? So I want to try and do that. It looks like for Jesus, a blessing is being true to who you are as a child of God, who loves God and loves your neighbor as yourself, in the long line of the prophets who did exactly that. So we have a reading from one of those prophets, Micah. And the people ask in that passage, what would God have them do? And there Micah replies in a verse that is well known to some and deserves to be well known to all of us. God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So I want to reference a theologian I admire, Walter Brueggemann, who wrote a book in 1986, and the title is, To Act Justly, Love Tenderly, Walk Humbly, An Agenda for Ministers, from 1986. And I'm going to quote him. He says, it is now agreed among a growing number of scholars that Micah is the voice of the village peasant against the rapacious power of the state. The peasants watched carefully the growing and shameless power of the Jerusalem government, that urban, scientific, military, industrial establishment that usurped the well-being of the little people. 1986, but it could have been written yesterday about a different place. People are now rereading our prophetic theologians. But I want to set this in the context of how Matthew's whole story works, if you did it as a read-through. We've had the setup of two previous weeks where Jesus has called the disciples away from their nets into the mending of the world. And we know he's going to mobilize them and send them out. But first, he's giving them, I don't know what you'd call it, a worldview? A Jesus perspective, a framework for who they're to be and what it is they're going to be motivated to go out and do. We call this part of Matthew's gospel the Sermon on the Mount, but that name does not appear in the text. It is simply the collection of Jesus's teachings that are to be the framework for being mobilized. The setting of this mobilization right now is Jesus goes up onto a mountain. Matthew is deliberately echoing the way Moses went up on a mountain. And Moses then presented the summary of what God called people to be. And Jesus sits down, and the crowd is there. We can't tell whether he's speaking to just his 12 closest disciples or to a big crowd. I think sitting down and projecting your voice to a big crowd is harder. But he is speaking to the people about being merciful, being humble, being peacemakers, and being prepared should they be persecuted. What does that look like in our time? I want to give two examples from current events. It is Black History Month, and so I'm going to start with a Black History Month example. There is a young American singer. His name is J.J. Lowe, but he goes by the name Monrovia after the capital of the country he came from as a refugee, from Liberia. And Liberia is a problematic place. James Monroe, the president of the United States, sent slaves back to Africa so there would be less black people in the United States. And unfortunately, the ones that were sent had absorbed the plantation mentality of somebody's got to be in charge, and they did that with the indigenous people who were there. And through the long history of corruption and dictatorships, there was a civil war. And this young man, J.J. Lowe, came to the United States and has the trauma of that history, even though Liberia had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission from 2003 to 2007. So he's a young singer trying to be in the style of the 1960s hippie protest singers. And he has a song called Heavy Foot. And it has in its chorus the very nice phrase, "Love me now," but then it continues, "And the government, staying on a heavy foot, they tried to keep us all down. No, they're never gonna keep us all down." The verses are about current events. Do you see the man on the street just fighting for a meal to eat? You can write him off as a lunatic, but it could have been you or me if we didn't ever find our feet. And then this chorus about the government staying on a heavy foot, and they tried to keep us all down. The timeliest verse is this one. Do you see the man on the screen? Just a puppet, but we never see the strings. Calling it a war, not a genocide. Telling us it isn't what it seems. Man, that's a different kind of greed. Love me now, hold me down, and the government, staying on a heavy foot, they tried to keep us all down. So, 3 million Spotify listeners, 700,000 YouTube views of that particular video. Maybe you haven't heard of him, but protest music is a thing, especially coming about in our youth culture, for which I have a second example. You may know there have been blog writers and podcasters who are analyzing what's going on in the world. I think one that many of you follow is Heather Cox Richardson. Is that name familiar? Here's another one. His name is Mark Provost, and he is especially interested in students. So yesterday, he wrote a post about all the students involved in the protest movements in Minneapolis and various other cities. And so I'm going to quote his post from yesterday. "I spent a couple hours last night and a couple more today reviewing countless photos of the massive protests around the country on Friday. Few people grasp the size, spread, and significance of these protests led by high school and college students. Legacy media can't adequately cover these events, even if they wanted to. So I'm going to give it a shot. To see spontaneous and organic protests organized by young people is to behold collective joy. You don't see a single student scrolling their phone. They are living in the present and exuberant. They link arms, hug, and support each other. Some of the walkouts were organized by the senior class, other times by freshmen. These young people are forming their identities, and they have made the decision to become active subjects in the American story. They appear determined to turn a new chapter. A few of the signs adopt familiar messaging. Other signs are direct communiques to the adults who are supposed to be protecting them. One of the most popular signs reads, "We're skipping our lessons today to teach you one." We have been having a baptism and confirmation and renewal of vows series in which we have a number of young participants. It looks like we'll be having two baptisms and a confirmation and maybe even more. And in our conversations, we talk about what are the gaps in figuring out how to live this Christian faith. We had a Bible session open to the whole community, and it was a great session of figuring out what's in the Bible and how to interpret it. And one of our participants referred to our reading of today, which is called the Beatitudes, as the Beatitudes. In other words, it's not about the doing of, because every generation has to figure that out. The two examples I gave you were about every generation figuring out how they're going to do it. Beatitudes are, how are we going to be the blessed ones that Jesus has called us to be? Beatitudo is the Latin for happy. You're not necessarily going to be happy if you're persecuted in a protest movement. Or are you going to be in your integrity and your truth because you stood for it right from the core of your being? Jesus is offering the framework in these three chapters for disciples to be mobilized. And they are us. Amen.
Oh, God, we come together today to hear your words of love that can transform us and the world. We are surrounded by messages that celebrate strength, success, and redemption by violence. Jesus tells us instead that being vulnerable is the blessing that can redeem us for lives of compassion and healing. Submitting to death on the cross is foolishness, but it reveals the way of truth, the way of love that will go the distance, freeing us for new lives in which we can do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you, our God. As we come to you in prayer today, make each of us conscious of your nearness. Open our ears that we may hear your voice. Enter our hearts that we may know more of you. Together we sing. Most in need in our community, thinking of the unhoused living from day to day, from food bank to shelters or tents in the bitter cold, those in the grip of addictions and mental health crises for whom we have not provided adequate resources. We pray for our community ministries, community food centers, and all outreach and social workers and volunteers who selflessly go the distance to meet the pressing needs of their clients. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Together we sing.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Loving God, we remember and pray for those who courageously stand against the abuses of power, risking their lives. For the thousands of men, women, and children slaughtered as they protested in Iran. For the millions of Americans as they stand up for the dignity of all their fellow citizens. For Renee Good and Alex Preti, who paid the ultimate price. Blessed are the persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Together we sing. Thanks to all those who reach out in friendship and love to other members of our parish family. Increase in us the sense of community that binds us to one another. Bless the work of our church that it may provide a refuge to those who feel threatened or lonely. Create a place of belonging where people know that they are welcomed, remembered by name, and valued as individuals. We pray for those in leadership roles in our parish. Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Nick, Kimberly, Monica, Barb. For our staff, Carrie and Awad, and all who minister here at St. John's. Together we sing. Families and friends, we thank you for all the ways in which our loved ones enrich our lives. We bring our prayers now for those for whom the way ahead is especially uncertain, those ill at home or in hospital, those facing tests or waiting for diagnosis. We pray especially for Garth, Louis, Ian, Alice, and all others who are in our hearts. We give thanks for the lives of Ducky and Helen McLean, Catherine McLean, Don McLean, and Drummond Lister, in whose loving memory the flowers are given by Peggy Lister and Catherine and Philip Doré. Together we sing. As we begin another week, give us the eyes of faith to see your presence in the world. Where fear closes our eyes, help us to open them. Where busyness keeps us from noticing, slow us. Where pride gets in the way, release us. Set us free to see your love at work in the world. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.